welcome to A Bookish Home. I'm Laura Zaro-Kopinski. This week, my guest is Ashley Waring, a librarian in Arlington, Massachusetts, and member of the 2017 Caldecott Award Committee. This year's Caldecott Medal announcement is coming up on Monday, January 28th at the ALA Youth Media Awards, so this is the perfect time for a behind-the-scenes look at this prestigious award for picture books. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Ashley Waring, welcome to A Bookish Home. I'm so glad I get to speak with you today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you are a children's librarian in Arlington, Massachusetts, and you were a member of the 2017 Caldecott Medal Committee. And we had met because you very graciously shared your experience on the committee with students at my school, in my school library that year. And I just thought it was so fascinating. And with the Caldecott Awards coming back up on Monday, January 28th, I thought this was such a great time for listeners to get to hear more about the award and some of the behind the scenes. So I'm just really excited to have you here. So for listeners who aren't familiar with the Caldecott, could you tell us a little bit about the award and kind of how it gets chosen?
Sure. The Caldecott Award is given out annually by a 15-member committee of, we're all ALSC members, which is the Association of Library Service to Children. It's a division of the American Library Association. And the Caldecott Award is given out every year to the most distinguished American picture book for children. And there's a couple pages of definitions in our manual that break that down. Mm-hmm. But essentially, it is a award that goes to an illustrator for, again, a book for children. And the definition mm-hmm. of children is under age 14. So.
And it's a huge deal. I always try to sort of say to my students, it's like the Oscars for picture books.
It really is. Yeah. It can really make someone's career. So it's a really, really important honor for whatever illustrators win and win the honors. It can guarantee that the book never goes out of print. They get a lot of speaking engagements. They often, you know, get picked up for illustrating a lot of other books. It is a really important thing for an illustrator and for a publisher.
For sure. And a huge responsibility for the committee members, which I'm sure weighed on you a bit. I guess just backing up a little bit, I would love to hear sort of what got you thinking you might want to serve on the committee and how that evolved into you actually being on the 2017 committee.
Okay. Yeah. So, even as a high schooler, I was kind of obsessed with the Caldecott. a friend of mine worked at a bookstore and we loved, you know, picture books, the books for children. I didn't think I was going to be a children's librarian at that point in my life, but I do remember getting excited about the announcements every year. And then
were there particular picture books that really stole your heart that had won Caldecott?
Honestly, I can't remember. I just remember the excitement of this award for books that I loved. And I felt like, I don't know. I felt like it was kind of a special thing to follow. Not a lot of other kids I knew in high school were interested in that. So I think that made it even more exciting for me and my nerdy book friend. And then I ended up becoming a children's librarian, and I was at a professional development presentation here in Massachusetts, probably in, I honestly don't know what year, maybe 2012, something like that. And Julie Roach presented. She's a librarian who works at the Cambridge Public Library, and she had been on the Geisel Committee. And she was talking about what it was like to be on the committee and how she got on the committee. And it's like this light bulb went off in my head and I thought, wait a second, I could do that.
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
Like, so you have to be a librarian. I'm a librarian. You have to be an ALSC. I'm an ALSC, you know? And so I started thinking, well, I really want to do this. So I did a few things. I became more involved in ALSC. The first committee I was on was called Liaisons with National Organizations. So kind of a process committee, but a great way to be involved and start meeting people. I also was a guest blogger for the ALSC blog when I went up to a few different conferences. And that was another great way to network and be more involved. And I also applied for and was accepted into a program that they run every 2 years. That's called the Bill Morris Seminar. And it's an intensive one-day course ahead of midwinter that trains you essentially on how to be really good at book discussions. And it's really intense. You read a lot of books in advance, and then you sit in rooms and you debate, you talk about books with other people while professionals essentially watch you and take notes on you. So it was really intense, but I learned so much about how to constructively discuss books with other professionals, and not just say, I liked this one, it was fun. But to get into the meat of the criteria and how a book meets that criteria or not. So through kind of doing all of those things, I felt like I was prepared to be on the Caldecott committee. And so I actually put my own name on the ballot. Like I said, the committee is made up of 15 people, and 7 of those are elected by ALSC members every year. The other 8, including the chair, are appointed by the ALSC president. So there's a few different ways you could get on an awards committee. I submitted my name to the nominating committee. They approved. So I was on the ballot that year along with, I don't know, I think it was like 15 to 20 people that are on the ballot. And luckily, I was one of the 7 that was elected. So that is my journey in a nutshell, from realizing I could be on the committee, deciding it was something I really wanted to do, and then really thankful that it happened.
Yeah, that's so exciting. Now, what was the timeline between when you found out and midwinter? Did you have, was it a full year?
It's a long time. Yes. I found out I was on the 2015 ballot. So I found out in May 2015 that I would be on the 2017 Caldecott committee. So I found out May 2015. Oh, wow. And then my committee technically started that summer, although we didn't meet for the first time until midwinter 2016. We don't do any deliberating in person in 2016 at midwinter annual, but we get to know one another. We talk about the criteria. We meet with our committee. We have a committee liaison to the ALSC board we meet with. So we don't do any deliberating until 2017 when we make our decision. But in 2016, we do get to know one another and communicate a little bit over email. So it was a long, it's a 2-year appointment essentially. So it was essentially, June of 2015 through June of 2017 that I was on the committee.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was sort of you don't really have contact until the actual deliberating and judging. But that's interesting that you kind of start it, you know, way in advance and get to know each other.
Yeah, more getting to know one another and getting to know the criteria and what the process is going to be. But like I said, no discussion or deliberation of any sort takes place until we are locked in that room at midwinter.
Oh, interesting. So when you had come and shared this story at my school library, the thing that myself and all of the students were very jealous of was what sort of started to happen next when you just started to receive book after book after book. Could you talk about how that worked and how you were kind of inundated that year?
Yes, inundated is a good word for it. I think I had in my slide presentation for your students a picture of me receiving my first book sent from a publisher, and I was so excited. And by the end of the year, I would groan when I heard the UPS truck coming down our street because I just thought, I can't look at another book. So yes, we started receiving books pretty early in the year, maybe February-ish. And then they just kept coming from all different publishers, small and large. I think by the end of the year, I forget the total now, but hundreds and hundreds of books. Plus, we also look outside of what's just coming to our house. So I was reading review journals. I was going to bookstores. I was looking at books at libraries, trying to catch things that maybe weren't sent to us. So
that's interesting. I was wondering about that, sort of how it's almost like it's sort of like the pre-selection, because you can't pick something you don't see. So, yeah, that's challenging, and you don't know what the publishers are going to send or what they might leave off their list.
Yeah. And, you know, and the Caldecott traditionally has gone to, picture books with, you know, capital P, capital B, kind of like what everyone thinks of as a picture book, but the criteria really could allow for more than that. You know, as we saw when, this one summer, the graphic novel, one. So definitely things like graphic novels, board books, you know, could fit into the criteria. And so committee members really do try to look for things, beyond what's just being sent to us, because there's so much more that might appeal to us, might fit the criteria. And so, like I said, we're getting the books at our house, but we're also continuing to search for things on our own. You know, and so there's a lot of spreadsheets that you have to keep and a lot of sticky notes involved. Each member kind of comes up with their own system for how to organize themselves. I was a mix of online and paper. and then at the end of the year, you have all of these books sitting around. So I had a lot of fun, deciding what to do with them. I donated a lot of them to Horizons for Homeless Children in Boston. So that was really good. I donated a lot of them to, I had a connection in Lowell, so I donated some to school libraries in Lowell. Just trying to send them off to a good home, because I could not keep that many books.
Yeah, you can't keep hundreds and hundreds of books.
I kept the winners.
yeah, that's a lot.
You know, which of course I had autographed, which was lovely. And I kept a few that were special to me, that I really enjoyed, that didn't make the cut. And pretty much other than that, I got rid of everything.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, one of the things I was curious about, you know, you're doing all this, and that's a lot to be reading all the ones that come in and hunting for others. How did you sort of balance all of that with your main job? And then along with that, I feel like I'd sort of worry, like, what if I pick this book for story time and then it makes it seem like this is high on my Caldecott list? Because I know you have to be so secretive. Was that a concern
at
all?
You do have to be secretive, but you are allowed to discuss with people, you know, books that you're looking at. So I wasn't too cagey about it. I would just, you know, mix in things I liked with, you know, other things. And if I felt like the book was a good fit for story time, I would use it. It was.
So you can share what you're reading.
I can't say to you, this is my favorite book. I'm going to nominate it. But what I can say to you is something along the lines of, these are a bunch of books I've been reading. I really like them. And I can be kind of vague like that. And also my coworkers were really respectful. No one really, I didn't feel like they were, you know, peering over my shoulder or trying to get information out of me, because they really respect the process as well. So, and one of the interesting things about the criteria is that while excellence of presentation and recognition of a child audience is one of the criteria, I just read that. I didn't have that memorized. child like appeal or popularity is not a criteria. So it's kind of a fine line between, I read this at story time and all the kids loved it, and, you know, this is true excellence and recognition of its audience. So, so it wasn't that important to me to try to share them with children.
Yeah,
I guess
kind
is what
of
I'm trying to
say. Right. That makes sense. I know I always kind of found that to be tricky. I would do a mock Caldecott with my third graders, and, you know, I would try to include books I think might have a real shot at the Caldecott, but, you know, a lot of times those would get eliminated relatively early, because, you know, they wanted the ones that were silly or playful or whatever it is. But at least then they're still sort of exposed to them. But it is interesting. It's not for the one that they think is going to be the most popular with kids. I think it's interesting to even, you know, show the criteria to kids and try to get them thinking about it in sort of a critical way, even if at the end they probably still go for the funny favorite. So then the actual judging, can you talk about what happened when you went to Midwinter? And I know a lot of it is secret,
I can tell you that process. I can tell you a little bit. So essentially we were locked in a room. And I think I also had a picture in the slide deck that there is a case that is also locked and it has all of the books that we're going to be discussing in it. So essentially when we get to that room, we have in essence a short list, although depending on the committee, it might be shorter, it might be long. And the way we get to that list is, towards the end of the year, each committee member, and again, there's 15 of us, get to officially nominate 7 titles. And what we do when we nominate is we nominate anonymously through the chair, but we write up a written argument about why we are nominating it and why we think a book fits the criteria. And then all of those nominations, there might be some overlap amongst members, you don't know, but all of those books that were nominated go into a case that is locked, and the chair of the committee has the code to unlock the case. And so the only people that see those books are probably a person or two at ALSC who packed that box that I'm sure sworn to secrecy, and then the committee who unlocked the box and discussed the book. So we discuss the books for as long as it takes.
Can I ask too, because you're saying, I sort of had this picture early on that, you know, every person on the committee is getting sent the same book, so none of it would be a surprise. But if you're going, you know, to bookstores and libraries and trying to discover different books, were you finding that some of the books that other committee members nominated you had never seen that year?
Or was that kind of unusual? Aside from the nominations at the end of the year, we also do monthly suggestions. And again, those are done anonymously through the chair. So as the year is going on, that is how we can let our fellow committee members know, I saw this. And I'm interested in it. It's not as official as a nomination. So nothing is really a surprise because you have those channels to let one another know what you're seeing. So again, it's all anonymous. We email the chair at a certain date and then the chair compiles the information and sends it back out. We discuss for as long as we need to discuss. They have the room set aside for, I don't know, something like 15 hours a day for 3 days in a row, something like that. As much time as the committee needs. And then when the committee decides, the committee votes. And the way the balloting works is you rank your first, second, and third choices, and then points are given to each of those choices. And then a couple committee members kind of tally the results. In order to win, a book has to have at least 8 first place votes. And so it also has to have an 8-point lead over the book that has the next highest number of votes. So depending on how the votes come through, a committee might need to vote numerous times. A committee might decide to continue to discuss it between votes. There's the manual tells you, you know, how the point system works, but the manual doesn't exactly tell you, you know, how the committee needs to proceed. Like, do you have to discuss again? Do you not have to discuss again? A lot of that's kind of up to the committee and up to the chair. So I can't tell you how many times we voted. I can't tell you what I voted for, but I could tell you that essentially that is how voting works.
And then the other thing I think is interesting is that it's not a set, number of honor medal winners.
Again, that gets determined.
How does that get determined?
So every committee is different. A committee could decide to do it based on the next highest vote getters. A committee could decide to have a whole new vote for honors. A committee could decide not to have honors. A committee could decide to, I don't even know what. Ooh. I mean, it's the manual leaves honor books, pretty, you know, very much up to the committee. It says here, the committee will entertain the following. And I'm reading from the manual, by the way, that is on it's on the Calicut website. Anyone can access it. This is not a top secret document. It says, the committee will entertain whether honor books will be named. So, you know, you don't even have to have any if you don't want. Whether the committee wishes to choose an honor book as honor books, the next highest books on the original winning ballot or ballot again. If the committee votes to use the award-winning ballot, they must then determine how many honor books to name. So it kind of, it gives you, and there's a few more, but it gives you some guidelines, but it's up to the committee, up to what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think that is just part of what adds so much excitement. I got to see the awards announced once in person when they were in Boston, but otherwise I've been watching the live stream, and I try to show parts of that video to students when I can. But it's so exciting because you don't know, you know, if you're not on the committee, you don't have any idea what books could be in the mix because there's no nominees shared ahead of time or like a short list or anything. And then you don't even know how many honor books there's going to be. So I just think it's such an exciting thing to watch and to get kids involved with and just share that excitement, because it really does feel like you're watching the Oscars or something. It's so exciting. So I don't know. I think it is fun to hear the behind the scenes on how seriously it's taken and how secret it is. I think that's fun to share with kids too. And
yeah, well, I mean, you know, when you said how seriously it's taken, I was just this morning poking around some of the blogs that people do, like Colin Caldecott and stuff like that. And I think that it's really fun and interesting to follow those blogs. I didn't the year I was on the committee, but now that I've been on the committee, I realize that it's really impossible for anyone else to spend as much time with those books. By the time you get down to that list of books that you know for a fact you're going to discuss in that room, I spent hours and hours and hours with each one individually and just combing over every detail of every page and comparing them to the criteria and thinking very critically about each one of those books. And I think it's really hard for anyone else to do that unless they're on the committee and have to set aside the time to do that. So the people that are in that room are really experts on those books, and the discussions that they have are so rich. That was really the best part for me,
sure,
was being in a room with other professionals who had spent as much time with these books as I had, and we just had some really fabulous conversations about the books. It was wonderful.
That's so cool. I mean, how much time were you spending a day? I mean,
yeah, it kind of depends on the time of year, but definitely towards the end. Yeah, I mean, I remember Christmas that year. My whole family was here. We host, and I would just lock myself up in the office for hours and say, "I'll see you at dinner," because there was a lot of work.
See you soon. I'm sure at the end. So I know that you get to call the winner and the honorees.
Really,
could you talk
was.
About that a little bit? Because
so,
I'm sure that was so exciting.
You wake
exciting
up very, very, very early in the morning and you go to the little press booth that they've set up at the ALSC office in the exhibit hall. So your whole committee kind of stuffs inside this tiny little room and you get some phone numbers from the ALSC office. And yeah, you get to call them. And our year was really fun. We had to call. So our winner was Javaka Steptoe, and we had to call him a couple times, but we finally got a hold of him, and he was really surprised. It was so exciting. Of course, you're all cheering, and it's such a thrill to tell someone that they've won this award. We were not able to get a hold of Vera Brosgol, who was one of our honor winners for Leave Me Alone, so we had to leave her a voicemail. Javaka was in California. Vera lives also on the West Coast, as does Carson Ellis. So a few of the people we were calling, we were in Atlanta. We were calling them at, I don't know, it might have been 4:30 in the morning for them. So, so it was a big surprise for them as well.
Oh wow! Well, I'll link to all the books. The winners and the honorees from that year. I know Radiant Child was the winner, and then I'll link to the honor books as well if people want to check those out. And I'm curious too, so it seems like you had such a wonderful experience on the Caldecott Committee. Now, what are the rules? Could you do it again, or could you be on a different committee?
Is that, you could do it again,
it sort of,
but they do
it
have
you
wait
sort of taking
it's
your turn.
5 years before you're on one of the other kind of major award committees. The only exception would be is if you got appointed chair. So I'm So I'm not going to be on anything anytime soon. I'm still definitely involved in ALSC. I'm actually on the ALSC membership committee right now, which is a lot of fun. So I help welcome new members and help get new members for the organization. And, you know, if given the chance, I would do it again in a heartbeat. It was a lot of work, but it was one of the most rewarding experiences professionally I've ever had. So I would love to do it again.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Or maybe the Newbery, although I can't imagine reading.
I don't think so either. And for me, I'm such a visual person. I love artwork. And so that, I loved learning about different techniques and styles and artistic terms and thinking about how the artwork worked with the text. So I don't know if I could do such a good job on the Caldecott talking about like plot and character arc and setting and stuff like that. It's for me, I just find it so much more enjoyable to look at art and discuss art and how it works with text, but that's just me.
Yeah. I love the Caldecott. I am very much looking forward. I'll put a link in the show notes too. If people are interested, I really recommend checking out the live stream and hearing all the awards get announced, including the Caldecott. And actually, so I did want to ask you too, are there any, I know you can't talk about what you picked that year, but are there any favorite Caldecott books in general that you would recommend? I can link to some in the show notes too, but if people are kind of wanting to, you know, get in the mood for the Caldecott and read some past winners,
so
are there any that are at the top of your list?
One of the recent ones that I really love was, I think it was, I don't know what year, maybe 2013 or 2014, Locomotive by Brian Flacca. I really, really love that book. I'll just leave it there. I love the artwork. I love the artwork, the way the artwork works with the text. And I love the story itself. It's such a great kind of mix of nonfiction and fiction for kids. And the action and movement on the page is fabulous. So I would put that up there. Aside, of course, from the ones from 2017, which will always be dear to my heart. And I love them all very, very much.
Right. Of course. Yeah. Well, I'll give the link to the full list. There's a full list of all the winners and honor books on the ALA website. And then I just like to always end by asking people what they've been reading lately. Is there something you'd want to recommend to listeners?
Read it in a flash because I couldn't put it down. It was so good. It was called Bad Blood by John Carreyrou. It's an adult nonfiction book about the Theranos scandal. It was a Silicon Valley startup that was a massive fraud. And so it's a really interesting piece of journalism about whistleblowers and Silicon Valley and the cult of personality and all that kind of stuff. I loved it. It was riveting. So if you like adult nonfiction, I would read that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Are you someone who, I know sometimes school librarians or children's librarians tell me they only read kids' books, which I can't do. I like to read
definitely.
A mix.
Yeah,
and
actually, at my new
to take
role
a break
in Arlington,
I'm
a branch librarian, so I work with kids, teens, and adults. So, so I'm trying to actually read even more widely in adult fiction in particular because it's not an area I have a lot of experience with. I mostly prefer adult nonfiction, but trying to work on my adult fiction reading and, of course, always reading tons of kids' books and YA books.
Yeah. Oh, that's very cool that you're kind of doing a mixture now. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your experience.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a lot of fun.
You can head over to abookishhome.com, my site, to see all of the books mentioned on this week's episode and to view the link to the live stream for the ALA Youth Media Awards, which I definitely recommend checking out. It's so much fun to watch the awards being announced, and I, for one, will have my popcorn ready and waiting while I watch the Caldecott Medal announcement, among others. If you are looking for more book recommendations, you can also check out the rest of the blog. If you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, please make sure you do that so that you don't miss any episodes. And if you could take a moment to rate and review A Bookish Home on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, that would be so helpful in terms of people being able to find the show. Thanks for listening and happy reading.